Theater Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Frederick Mott in Stronger Than Steel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. Once again, of course, our director is Conrad Nagel, who has worked with most of the great names of stage and screen, and who has distinguished himself both as an actor and director. Here he is to welcome you to Silver Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, Conrad Nagel.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and John Conte. International Silver Company, on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and America's finest silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers, welcome you to the gala premiere of this season's Silver Theater series. In weeks to come, there'll be such stars as Margaret Sullivan, Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell, James Stewart, Helen Hayes, Ginger Rogers, Betty Davis, Clark Gable, and others, in stories by America's foremost authors. Today, we're proud to present the outstanding star, Frederick March, supported by the young radio actress, Loreen Tuttle, in an original story written especially for the Silver Theater by True Boardman. And incidentally, Mr. March is not only a great actor, but a grand trooper. When he heard his friend, William Powell, had not recuperated from his recent illness sufficiently to enable him to be with us today, Freddie very graciously offered to pinch hit for him. So we plan to have Mr. Powell with us later in the series. And now the lights are being dim, and the silver curtain is rising on the first act of Stronger Than Steel. The scene is a construction camp in South China where Bart McGarrett, played by Frederick Mott, was building a railway bridge with the help of his American superintendents and a large Navy crew.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Ling.
Yes, Mr.
Garrett.
What's this fellow trying to say?
Ni gong mata. Work train with supplies has arrived across river. He wishes men to unload it at once.
Tell him yes. Unload the cement first. Been holding us up. Hey, Joe.
Yes, boss.
I want you to... What's this? Who told that gang to stop working?
The reason Mr. McGarrett would probably be there. Young American girl.
American girl?
Am I drunk or do I see what I think I see? This is China, isn't it?
Boy. Who is she, Lin?
Daughter of head of mission on road to Chu Feng. Most of your coolies know her father. For that reason, they stopped working.
Well, tell them to get back to work. We aren't holding up construction for distinguished visitors.
Nihai Dugong! China! China!
Something you wanted?
Yes. I wanted to see Boss Man McGarrett.
I'm Bart McGarrett.
Yes, I suppose you were. How do you do? I'm Mary Steele. My father is a
helper. Well, I know about your father. It happens I'm very busy getting a bridge built. Since your presence here seems to upset the coolies, I'd appreciate it very much.
Upset them? Well, I know most of them from the mission.
Look out, please.
Hold on.
Hurry it along. Construction camp is no place for a woman. You should know that.
Well, excuse me, McGarrett. My father asked me to come and invite you and your crew to an entertainment we're giving the mission on Christmas Eve. But I realize that you'll be much too busy on your bridge. Forgive me for disturbing you. Incidentally, I'm sure no one ever accused you of being a civil engineer. Bye.
Goodbye.
Of course, what's eating? The only American girl in 200 miles, the first one we've even seen in 6 months, and you blow up just because she tries to be friendly. Gosh, I'd like to go to that Christmas Eve shindig.
Hello, we're not going.
Oh, boss, have a heart. Just because you want to be a hermit, don't make it tough on the rest of us. You have to go. Besides, they invited you, and you can't insult people.
Can I, Joe? I don't know. I'd say I made a pretty good start.
Yeah.
what's he telling
you? It seems that the missionary, Mr. Shields, would inform everyone that the entertainment is concluded and that gifts will be distributed by the white bearded one.
Here, boss, what's that white bearded one's business? Is that what we used to call Santa Claus?
Come on, boys, come on. Time for us to be on our way.
Where's the fire, boss?
Mr.
McGill. Oh, hello.
So you did come. I'm glad.
Are you?
I know I shouldn't be asking your cordial welcome the other day, but since it's Christmas Eve, my bump of forgiveness is working overtime. You weren't going.
Yes, we'll have to be getting on back to camp. Oh, by the way, these are my assistants, Joe Thomas and Red Sullivan.
I don't do.
Oh, but you can't go yet. As soon as the presents are given to the children, there's going to be a party for the grown-ups. I gave Dad a radio for Christmas, and he's going to try to bring in some American music and perhaps even the news from Manila.
Well, thank you, Miss Shields, but I came 7,000 miles to get away from American news and American music.
Oh. Well, then, how about a real American supper? We're going to have baked Virginia ham, apple pie, and ice cream.
Baked Virginia ham?
Apple pie and ice cream? Hey, boss, we got to stay.
All right, you men stay, then. I'll go on. Good night.
Mr. McGill.
Oh, don't mind him, miss. That's just the way he is.
Oh, but he can't go like that. Mr. McGill.
Well?
Oh, please don't go so early. I'd like to have you meet my dad. And, well, if you're angry because of anything I might have said at the bridge.
No, I've got a lot to do. And setting up schedules for tomorrow's work.
But tomorrow's Christmas. Surely you're not going to work on Christmas.
Good night, Miss Hughes.
Mr. McGill.
What?
Is it that bridge is really so important to you? Or just that everything else is so unimportant?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Do you know why my dad invited you tonight? Even though you've never taken the trouble to come near the mission? I'll tell you. You were a decoy.
A decoy?
Mm-hmm. For the natives. The sure way of getting all the natives to come tonight was to tell them that Boss Man McGarrett would be here. You're the number one American in this part of China, as far as they're concerned. They idolize you. And you, in turn, apparently idolize the bridge.
Don't talk nonsense.
Is it nonsense?
How long since you've seen the bridge?
Why, quite some time. It's not since...
Well, you come down the first chance you get. I'll let my bridge talk for itself. Good night.
Good night. And Merry Christmas.
Oh, hello.
Mr. Sullivan told me I'd find you somewhere out here. But he said you'd be making an inspection. Or, is this the way you inspect?
No, I've finished. What was it you wanted?
Well, if you remember, I had an invitation to meet your bridge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, there's no better place than this for you to see it from. It's too bad you chose Sunday afternoon, though, and the crew's not at work.
Oh, that was intentional. I still remember my last visit when the crew was at work. Oh, you're right. This is the place to see it from. Just the perfect hour. Look at the color of that sky off the
end. But did you come to see the bridge or the sunset?
Maybe I came to see both. You don't mind?
Oh, no, I don't mind.
Oh, the river looks miles down below there. How far is it?
318 feet. From the center of the span, that is.
Well, it still looks like miles. And how long will the bridge be when it's finished?
1,900 feet.
You know, Dad was saying just yesterday that this bridge was going to make a tremendous difference in this part of China.
It will.
Is it true that the railroad bed is already laid on both sides of the river? And they're just waiting for you to finish the bridge to start a regular train service down through here from Chuping?
That's right.
That should mean a lot of traffic, too, with all the fighting going on up north. Munitions and all that. Incidentally, Dad's been awfully concerned about the war. He's afraid they're not going to be satisfied with just taking Shanghai and Peking. Do you think there's really any danger of it coming down into this province?
Well, as you already know, I don't think of anything except getting this bridge finished.
You don't, do you?
What are you doing in China? A girl with your background doesn't belong here.
No. I'm here for a very good reason, Mr. McGarrett. Just before I finished school, word came that my mother was ill out here. Very ill. I came as quickly as I could, but that was still not quick enough. Then Dad needed my help, and I've stayed on ever since.
I see.
Question for question, Mr. McGarrett.
Why not?
What are you doing here?
I'm building that bridge.
Yes, I know that. But why in South China? You're a really big engineer. We all know that. You could be doing just as fine jobs in the States and without cutting yourself off from everything.
Couldn't build this bridge there. You realize that this is going to be the biggest bridge of its kind ever built? A cantilever with a span of 1,900 feet. Not a suspension, that'll be simple, but a cantilever. Well, I've got a method of ribbing steel construction that increases its tensile strength by nearly 30%. Have you any idea what that means?
Yes, I think so. Building this particular bridge is a lot more than just another job to you. You've got a special reason for doing it.
I got a lot of reasons.
But it still seems strange to me that you should be doing the actual work itself. You're out of place somehow as a kind of a glorified foreman. Well, you're the kind of a man who belongs behind a mahogany desk in an office on Madison Avenue.
Pushing buttons, eh? Running a job by remote control, never getting closer than a blueprint to a piece of steel. Thanks, but I'm not interested.
There's a bridge. I mean, working on it yourself. Does it really mean so much to you?
Yes, it does.
Tell me why. I still don't understand, and I'd like to.
Well, that's not the difficult. You see, there's one thing in this world that I love. That's steel. It's been that way as long as I can remember. Since I was 10, I've wanted to build a bridge with my own hands. A bridge that no one else had ever been able to build. A bridge like that one out there, solid and secure. Something I'm sure I can trust and believe in.
I see. Yes, I think now I do see. Well, I'll get along and leave the two of you alone.
What are you talking about?
You and your bridge, Mr. McGarrett. I learned a long time ago that three is a crowd.
Those nine girders will close the span. I want them in place for tomorrow night.
Oh, boss, have a heart? No, that's 4 days' work.
I didn't ask you, Red. I said I wanted those girders in place. See that they are. And Joe.
Yes, sir?
Stay on that wire.
Hey, what's got into that guy?
I don't know. My hunch is it's these reports I've been getting.
Well, what reports?
About the war up north. Look, here's the first one I got day before yesterday. Sudden change in fighting front moves hostilities deeply into Yang province.
Yang? Hey, that's this problem.
Yeah, and that's only the beginning. Fresh reports have been coming down from Chu Feng almost every hour. And the last one...
Wait a minute.
Defending forces in retreat southward.
Joe, that's another thing.
Now, wait a minute, boss.
Fall of Chu Feng believed only matter of hours.
Hey, Chu Feng. Why, that's only 40 miles up the line here. If they
say... Let me that message.
Yeah, it looks bad, boss. They were just in building a bridge for...
You're right. Yes, boss. I'm leaving camp. Maybe for a couple of hours, maybe for days. You'll be in charge, and I want work. Keep them at it straight through the night. And another thing, I want this war business kept quiet, you understand? If the natives get wind of it, I'll hold you responsible. Now remember that.
Hey, boss, where are you going?
To Chu Feng.
You heard him, Chu Feng. And you know why? To hold the whole war back single-handed so they won't spoil his pretty bridge. And if you think I'm kidding, you're crazy.
This is Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen, and we come to the end of the first act of Stronger Than Steel, starring Frederick March. In just a few seconds, the curtain will rise on Act Two of Stronger Than Steel. But right now, I'd like to introduce, or rather reintroduce you, to a man who will play a very important part in these Silver Theater broadcasts, our announcer, John Conte.
Thank you, Conrad. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take a very few seconds before our curtain rises on Act Two to welcome you on behalf of International Silver Company. To our old friends who gave such an enthusiastic welcome to our last series of Silver Theater broadcasts, we're going to try to make the new series even more memorable. To our new friends, we hope this will be but the first of many pleasant Sunday half hours to come. We hope that when you enjoy them, you will remember that these programs are brought to you by the makers of International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. Later in the program, we have some exciting news about the solid silver. But right now, I'd like to bring to your attention 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate pattern, First Love. First Love is something genuinely new in silver plate and sensationally beautiful. But go to your jeweler's tomorrow and see First Love yourself. Take one of the graceful spoons in your hand. Enjoy the richness of it, the truly exquisite beauty. It's a pattern you'll never forget, a pattern you'll long to own. 1847 Rogers Brothers, First Love.
And now the curtain rises on the concluding act of Stronger Than Steel. The time, 3 days later. The scene, the office of the bridge construction camp in South China, where Bart McGarrett, played by Frederick March, has his headquarters.
Monsieur, what are you doing here?
Miguel, I've got to see him.
He's not here, ma'am. He's going up to Chufeng.
Chufeng? But there was a bombing raid in Chufeng just a few hours ago. We heard it on the radio.
Yeah, I know. Casualties estimated at 600.
Oh, Miguel.
Oh, don't even think of it. Bart McGarrett will never go out like that, ma'am. There's nothing private about a bomb. He gets a lot of people at once. Ordinary dopes like Joe and me and that bunch of coolies out there. But when the old time comes for a guy like Bart McGarrett, he's a cinch for special attention.
You're right. You must be right. Well, I've got to get back to the mission. Dad needs me. Please send up word when Mr. McGarrett gets back. It's terribly important.
Poor kid. She's worried about that bunch of converts for her dad.
She's got a right to worry. Did you ever see a bunch of refugees running away from a war, Red?
I did in Shanghai in 33. The brother that got me. The women and the kids so scared they can't say anything. They just look at you dumb-like as though they were animals. Well, that's what that girl and her father will have on their hands if Chufeng is captured.
Yeah, if Chufeng is captured.
Heavy artillery fire, weakening defenses of city. Invading force reported entering suburbs of Chufeng. Population in flight. Final report, Chufeng. Fall of city imminent. Civilians in areas immediately south warned to flee. Good luck. Signing off.
Hey, Joe, look at him now. He's here. He made it. Didn't I tell you they
said... Save it, Rat, save it. Joe, I left Chufeng 2 hours ago. What's happened since?
It's been taken, boss. The operator up there gave up and signed off.
Well, somebody will still be up at Maytard Junction. Keep in touch with him.
Okay, boss.
And Red.
Yes, boss.
How long since the night shift quit work?
3 hours.
Get him up and back on the job. From now on, we have no shifts. Every man works straight through till we finish the bridge. That should be by sundown tomorrow.
Well, whatever you say, boss. Oh, but look. What's the use of it all? Why finish the thing if it's just going to end up in the middle of a battle? And maybe I'll switch it.
I didn't ask you for an argument. Get out there and get him to work.
Okay, but...
Mr. McGill.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm so glad you're there. I need your help. I have 3 truckloads of Chinese out there, my father's converts. They're terrified. The fighting's coming nearer all the time. I've got to get from across the river and on southward out of the danger zone. That's where you come in.
What do you mean?
Well, the bridge is finished enough now to walk across, isn't it?
What if it is?
And I know there's an engine and 2 flat cars over there on the south side of the river. I saw them. We can walk these people across, put them on that, and get them as far south as we want to take them.
What about my bridge crew?
They can come too.
Well, you don't understand. I mean, what would they have to work with? It just happens that engine and freight cars are my work train. I need them to haul girders and rails. To be very frank, Miss Shields, I don't care if you have 200 converts to play nursemaid to. I'm going to finish that bridge.
If anyone else said that, I'd know he was joking. But you're not. The fact that there are women and children frightened and hungry out there doesn't mean anything to you. Nothing matters to you. You've got to finish your bridge. You said once that you loved steel. Well, I know why. It's because you're incapable of loving anything else.
Now, wait a minute.
And I know, too, why you're cut off from the world in the middle of China, Mr. McGarrett. You were in love with a girl and went away to a job in South America thinking she'd wait for you. But she married someone else. And ever since then, you haven't cared about anyone or anything except yourself.
I think you've said enough.
Oh, no, I haven't. I still haven't told you that I think you're the most contemptible man I've ever known in my life. I didn't think I could ever hate anyone. Well, I was wrong. And if you're the Chinese idea of the finest type of white man, then heaven help China.
Red, you better take Miss Shields and lock her up somewhere and she quiet.
Oh, no, he won't. Do you think I'd stay here? I'm going to get those people down south right now if they have to walk me with them.
Just a minute, Miss Shields.
Oh, you let go of me.
You've had your say. It's time for mine. You're not going anywhere. Those coolie workers of mine saw your converts running for cover. How long do you suppose I could keep them on the job? Red.
Yes, boss?
The men that are with Miss Shields, you put to work. No one leaves this camp until we all do. And that won't be until after that bridge is finished. Red.
Yes, boss.
How nearly are you through?
Just about washed up. There's still 5 rails to be laid. I'd say about 10 minutes.
Do it in 3. Report to me in the office when she's finished.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Joe. Anything new come through?
That's since the last I gave you. You think we'll make it, boss?
I don't know.
Garrett.
What? Yeah, what is it?
Just came to tell you that all of my people are on the work train and ready to go.
Who told you to put them
there? No one. You said that we'd go and the bridge was finished. Nearly finished now. Anyone can see that.
Well, congratulations on your change of tactics. But once you use your head instead of your temper.
Someone has to use his head, Mr. McGirt.
Hey, boss, it's done. The last rail all in place.
Great. That means we're set. Wait a minute, Miss Shields. I didn't say anything about your leaving.
But why not? Your precious bridge is finished. Why shouldn't we all go?
Red, what about the other job I told you to do?
Oh, all set.
What's the matter with you? All of you.
No danger of a slip-up. Not a chance.
There was a message coming in. I think this is it. It is. Here, look at this.
Thanks. Perfect. All right, Red. Get all the crew over on that work train. Everybody. Florence Nightingale here already has her pets aboard.
Right.
You mean we're really going to go? Oh, I can't believe it.
Red, when you're talking everybody on that work train...
Yeah, what then?
Run it off on a siding.
Oh! Oh, Bob McGarrett, listen to me, please. What's the matter with you? Are you really insane? That train is loaded with people, your crew, women and children from the mission. Can't you realize that?
Perfectly, Mary. Incidentally, it's time I called you, Mary.
Oh, look, it's because of what I said. Forget it. I was angry and afraid. Afraid for Dad's conduct. I'm sorry. Oh, but don't. Don't speak just because you're angry with me. Don't endanger the lives of those people. Please. Oh, what do I have to do? What do I have to say to make you understand?
Nothing. Just listen, Mary. Listen.
What is it?
Joe, you wired on the go-ahead?
Right, boss.
The signals are open?
I checked on it.
Well, come on, Mary. Come on up and see something worth waiting for.
What is it?
Refugees. 7,000 refugees from Xufeng. Those last 3 cars are a hospital unit.
Why did they come this way? Why did they?
Every other train off was bombed off. This train has been waiting up the line 3 days to get across the river to the south. That's why I went to Xufeng. They thought the bridge wouldn't be finished for 2 weeks. But I promised them that if they'd hold things back till noon today, I'd get the train across.
Why didn't you tell
me? You were too busy telling me. Oh, no one could be told, Mary. The one chance for this plan to work was to keep the whole thing secret. Look at that bridge, Mary. You see how she looks at that train racing across her? Didn't I tell you you could trust steel?
Oh, Father, I've been so crazy.
Oh, no, you haven't. You're just a woman with brains. That's always a dangerous combination. And now we will take that work train. Come on, Mary, we're heading south.
Thank you. Aren't you going to?
Yeah. Believe it or not, this time I'm going. All right, up there. All aboard for Point Stout. All aboard! Nothing like the back of a flat car for sightseeing through China, I always say.
You know, if it was... Hey, what's this? Tears? This is supposed to be an occasion for celebration, you know?
You knew how ashamed I feel. The trouble I've caused.
Oh, forget it, Mary.
Not only that, I know now how much it means to you to leave that bridge.
You don't know what you're talking about.
But why? That bridge is the most important thing in the world to you. You told me.
Yes, and I was a liar. It stopped being the most important the night I sat in a little mission on Christmas Eve and watched a certain young woman with a turned-up nose direct a bunch of kids on a Christmas Eve.
But no, the train isn't stopping.
Hey, boss, you think this is far enough away for the switch?
I think so, Red. Look at her, Mary. Look at her. Our candle ever. 1,900 feet. The only one of her kind in the whole crazy world.
Perfect, boss. Perfect.
Now, that's it. She's just a little too perfect. Better say goodbye to her, Mary.
Goodbye.
All right, Red. Let her go! Well, you wanted to get your refugees to safety, didn't you? And anyway, I built that for passengers, not for armies. Let them build their own bridge. All right, up there! Here we go!
Oh,
Miss Shields. For a missionary's daughter, that strikes me as a very familiar way to address your latest convert. That, of course, I may be wrong. Come in. Mary. So I'm not a civil engineer, eh?
Just a few seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Frederick March is going to be with us in person. But before that, a young man comes before the silver curtain for a brief appearance. John Conte.
And my appearance, ladies and gentlemen, will only be long enough to remind you that you have a standing date at the Silver Theater at the same time every Sunday. The theater brought to your home by International Silver Company. You remember a little earlier in the program, I mentioned 1847 Rogers Brothers' lovely silver plate pattern. Well, now may I mention a lovely solid silver pattern, International Sterling's Enchantress. There are many things I could say about Enchantress, but suppose instead I just leave it at this, that Enchantress is incredibly beautiful, the kind of beauty that words simply can't do justice to. You have to see Enchantress to really appreciate it. And so that you may see it, International Sterling is making a special offer of a solid silver sugar spoon. Its regular price is $3.25, but it's yours now for only $1. We invite you to take advantage of this amazing offer and get your solid silver sugar spoon at the jeweler's tomorrow. Just ask for International Sterling's Enchantress. And now back to Frederick March and Lorene Tuttle, who have just stepped from behind our silver curtain.
Here, there you are, Miss Tuttle. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it was nice. When it comes to making a speech, I...
You needn't be afraid. Not when you're as good an actress as you are. You just step out before them, and you smile, and you start talking like this, see? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been very pleasant playing for you tonight. It seems that, I don't suppose any of you know what a really beautiful girl Joan Bennett is, especially when she wears a black wig and is directed by Kay Garnett. And she's wearing one now on a picture that we're making for Walter Wanger called Trade Winds. Beautiful girl. And, Tay's a beautiful director. That isn't quite what I mean to say. He's, Conrad, what was that you were going to say?
Well, we want to thank you and Miss Tuttle for two superb performances tonight, Freddie.
Thank you, Mr. Nagel.
Thank you, Conrad. I'd like to congratulate International Silver Company on its performance. I've seen the patterns that John Conte spoke of, and they're beautiful.
Well, thanks again, Freddy. We look forward to having you back with us again soon. Good night, Frederick March.
You see, Miss Tuttle, how easy it was? Good night, everyone.
You'll soon be able to see Frederick March with Virginia Bruce in There Goes My Heart, which she has just completed for Hal Roach Studios.
Next week at the same time, the Silver Theater stars Margaret Sullivan with Conrad Nagel as director and original musical scores by Felix Mills. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.